Good evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you live from the English to Africa service of The Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Peter Clotty in Washington, D.C.
There's been widespread irregularities. We have seen vote rigging. We have seen voters are suppression. We have seen intimidation tactics. There's so many things that are irregular in this election.
Namibia opposition parties demand fresh elections.
We have this responsibility to see how we can help others to overcome conflict.
Angola steps up efforts to help ease political tensions between the DRC and Rwanda.
So one of the most important things we cited was recruitment, so that we can have enough health workers in the government health facilities.
And the president of the Uganda Medical Association expresses concern about the sluggish recruitment of health workers. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. In Namibia, a group of opposition political parties is calling for fresh elections, citing widespread voter irregularities and rigging in the last week's general election. At a press conference led by the presidential candidate of the Independent Patriots for Change, or IPC, Dr. Panduleni Itula, they called for fresh polls after vowing to seek legal redress if their demands are not met. It comes after the Electoral Commission of Namibia allowed voters to cast their ballots on Saturday, days after polls were scheduled to have closed. Administrative challenges, equipment failures, and long lines, local media reports, made it difficult for voters to participate in the elections. The electoral body is expected to conclude the announcement of the outcome of the presidential and national assembly elections in the coming days. For more on the call for fresh elections, I reach Christine Esperanza Auchamus. She is the general secretary of the opposition Independent Patriots for Change, or IPC.
All the opposition parties are demanding fresh elections. Yesterday, a joint press conference, which was headed by Dr. Panduleni Itula, did inform the public that all opposition parties are demanding fresh elections. There's been widespread irregularities. We have seen vote rigging. We have seen voters as suppression. We have seen intimidation tactics. There's so many things that are irregular in this election, and we are calling for fresh elections. They've started announcing the results last night, and only 10 constituencies out of 121 constituencies have been declared. So we are waiting for them to conclude the announcement of results, whether it is in the favor of the IPC or not, whether the results are calling for a runoff between two top candidates or whether we have lost the election. It does not matter.
Calling for fresh elections, you have the ability to approach the court to seek legal redress. Is this the path the opposition wants to take?
Yes, that is the position of the opposition, particularly for us who are premised on a principle of rule of law. We cannot profit from a process that has been marred with irregularities, even if that process gives us a win. As a matter of principle, we insist that there must be a nullification of the current election so that we go to the polls afresh.
But some people are suggesting that in spite of administrative and logistical challenges, every Namibian who was registered was given the opportunity to vote. So the fresh elections call is disingenuous.
No, Peter, that is an incorrect interpretation of what transpired. We have in the excess of 100,000 Namibians who were denied the right to vote. And because of that, there's going to be a significant change in the outcome of the elections if these Namibians who have been denied the right to vote are accorded the right to vote. It is not purely a matter of irregularities pertaining to administrative nature. There are legal problems and there are legal challenges that we are going to launch because there's so much going on with this election. It's not only a matter of people have run out of time. It's a matter of voter suppression where deliberately ballot papers were withheld. We've also had, with the extension of the voting, this was a general election of voters, which makes Namibia one constituency. If you are extending elections, you cannot come and select which constituencies should be granted that election when the ballots ran out across the country. Everybody should have been accorded the opportunity to cast their votes.
Are you therefore saying that the credibility of these elections have been tainted due to the inefficiencies that occurred?
Inefficiencies make it sound insignificant, Peter. It's not just inefficiencies. It's a deliberate suppression and a deliberate promotion of the current administration. In the Comas region, which is the region with the highest number of eligible voters, the Electoral Commission selects one polling station for the extension over 2 days. How do you extend the election with one polling station in a densely populated area like Comas over 2 days, and then you allow or perceive that all Namibians will be able to cast their votes within 1 day across the country? If you're opening and if you provide an extension, do so for everyone across the country to be able to cast their votes. What happens in this polling station that was opened is opened in town, in the CBD. Majority of our people live in the informal settlements in Katutura. For them to go and cast their votes, it requires that they need to have resources to travel to that polling station. So you are denying Namibians the right to cast their votes. This, we believe, is deliberate. This, we believe, is unfair towards the electorate, and it is a breach of their democratic rights.
Christine Esperanza Auchamos is the General Secretary of the Opposition Independent Patriots for Change, or IPC. She spoke with me from the Namibian capital, Windhoek. Angola's foreign minister is hailing the renewed focus on the Lobito Corridor project as an important infrastructure measure and a significant boost to regional integration. Tete Antonio also expressed confidence on the economic impact of the project on Angola and neighboring countries, including Zambia and the Democratic Republic of Congo, DRC. His remarks come days ahead of the historic visit of U.S. President Joe Biden to Angola on December 2nd. The Lobito Corridor is a $2.3 billion rail project that connects Zambia and the DRC to the Atlantic Ocean. It is seen as one of the most important transport projects that the United States has helped develop in Africa. In a wide-ranging interview, the Angolan Foreign Minister, Tete Antonio, also talks to me about his country's mediation efforts between the government in Kinshasa and Kigali. Here is the conclusion of the conversation.
Mr. Foreign Minister, I know Angola has been making efforts, mediation efforts, to ease tensions between Rwanda and the DRC. What is the latest development in the effort to ease this ongoing tensions between these two neighboring countries, talking about the government in Kigali and Kinshasa?
Just coming back to what I've said on how people look at Angola, we should remember that President João Manuel Gonçalves Lourenço was designated by the African Union champion for peace and reconciliation in Africa. So those are two factors, not only what we do as a country, what we think, how conflict should end, but also we have this responsibility to see how we can help others to overcome conflict. So under the leadership of President João Lourenço, we started by helping Rwanda and Uganda at the time they had differences. You may remember the issue of the Tuna-Katuna border. We, thanks God, it went well in those two countries in very good relationship. We will remember also, we were involved in the Central African Republic to see if we could also help that country to solve the problem of rebel groups who are attacking Central African Republic. We have done so well, but we think we can continue to help them to make sure that the peace is consolidating in that country. On the DRC, President João Lourenço was given a mandate by the African Union in Malabo, in a summit in Malabo, to see if he could also, if he could help DRC and Rwanda to normalize the bilateral relations. And second, as you know, since the issue of armed group M23 has been also one of the issues very much discussed in this same exercise of establishing good relationship between the two countries, this issue also has come into the Rwanda process. Otherwise, the Rwanda process is meant to solve those problems. And we are doing our best. You remember, May mini summit took place here in Rwanda, in his capacity, under the leadership of President Lourenço, in his capacity as mediator. Those summits not only produced decisions like the ceasefire we had in the past, which now we renewed under still the leadership of President Lourenço, but currently, where we stand, President Lourenço put on the table a draft agreement which was proposed to the two leaders, President Paul Kagame and President Tshisekedi of the DRC. We have made some very positive steps. We are still working. I think it's too early now to talk about what are the final results. But there is an agreement on the table, and the good thing is the two parties have the political will to talk. So we're talking.
Angola is going to be chairing the African Union in 2025. While we are on peace and security, what are the plans to help ease political and security situations on the continent, especially when there have been conflict, there have been coup d'etats and all that? People express concern about instability, instances of instability on the continent. Talk to me about the plans to help resolve some of these concerns Africans have.
Angola is not going to invent the wheel. The African Union has instrument. We have a plan, the 20 in agenda 2063, which talk about a peaceful Africa, which is the Africa we want. So it is there. What Angola has to do is to make sure that that agenda is achieved. The objectives of that agenda are achieved, to have a peaceful Africa. And second, the African Union has established its mechanism. We have a Peace and Security Council, which is composed of member states. So this body is going to continue to work on the issue. Second, the African Union has also established a certain other mechanism like the Peace Fund. And Angola, we would like to see also Africa look at its conflict as we have been doing, maybe do better. And not only Africa, but without forgetting the responsibility of the United Nations, I mean, the Security Council, who has the primary responsibility for peace and security in the world. What is Angola will do is to make sure that both mechanisms are working. And second, to make sure that Africans talk, our philosophy to promote dialogue is not going to be still on the table. We can talk among us and find a solution to the problems. Well, we have challenges, and not only in the DRC, which we just addressed. We have a big challenge in Sudan.
Tete Antonio is the Angolan foreign minister. He spoke with me from the capital, Luanda. In Malawi, incumbent President Lazarus Chakwera and main rival former President Arthur Peter Mutharika have intensified their campaigns to encourage citizens to register to vote in the coming general election. But a political analyst says the two candidates may be violating the law. This after Judge Piri contends that it is the job of the Electoral Commission to educate prospective voters to register, since it is the only constitutionally mandated body to organize polls in Malawi. Judge Piri tells me that the two leaders are aware of the law and should not be seen undermining the constitution.
It is the president who started before the opposition leaders started campaigning, because the president himself started campaigning while registration was taking place, and he has been saying that he's mobilizing people to register, while we know that by law, the Malawi Electoral Commission is responsible for mobilizing institutions and even people to go and register, not the president. We don't expect the president to be on the top of teams that mobilize people for voter registration. We don't expect the president. We expect the Malawi Electoral Commission to recruit institutions and organizations for mobilizing Malawians to register for elections in 2025.
George, some people are suggesting that civil society groups have complained that there appear to be voter apathy and people were not going to the voter registration centers to register, and that is why it was necessary for perhaps the president and others to talk to Malawians to go and register to vote.
No, I don't believe that. What I'm saying is that the president himself is the causer, or is the one causing people not to register. I'm saying this because he promised Malawians several things when he was campaigning for his current office. Now, when he became the president, when people voted for him, he did not implement what he promised Malawians. So it is him who has caused the whole issue. The whole saga is on him. He promised Malawians one thing, and he never did what he promised Malawians. And begin campaigning again? I don't believe that's a person who understands issues.
But George, some people are suggesting that the president alone cannot be at fault here, because the recent polls show that they are Malawians are also disappointed with members of parliament who come to promise them and then fail when they are elected into office. So the president alone cannot be blamed, his supporters are saying.
I don't believe that, because when the law, we had a section which is a recall section in our constitution and has been repealed, because the same president was there when this happened. What did he do as the one in the executive? We understand the three arms of government in Malawi: the executive, the parliament, the legislature, and judiciary. And when this happened, Malawians didn't want this to happen, but there's nothing that took place. And he himself asserted, the president asserted to that law to be repealed. You understand? So it is the president who has caused that.
George Piri is a political analyst. He spoke with me from the Malawian capital, Lilongwe.
UNAIDS says close to 40 million people are living with HIV, and more than half of them are in Eastern and Southern Africa. On this week's edition of Our Voices, we will take a deeper look into the status of HIV/AIDS and its spread in sub-Saharan Africa. Join the conversation Wednesdays at 1900 UTC on The Voice of America.
The president of the Uganda Medical Association is expressing concern about the recent pronouncement of the health minister about the recruitment of health workers. Dr. Herbert Luswata says the government has funds to embark on a mass recruitment drive to employ qualified professionals to help improve healthcare, though it will be done in phases. His reaction was in response to Health Minister Dr. Jane Ruth Acheng's statement that the government lacked funds to do so. This, as official figures show, that the country has a shortage of over 187,000 healthcare workers. Dr. Herbert Luswata tells me that his organization plans to meet with members of parliament to address their concerns.
It is very unfortunate because when we try to push as health workers for strengthening of the health sector, one of the most important things we cited was recruitment so that we can have enough health workers in the government health facilities. When you look at the human resource coverage, which is around 42, according to the survey we did as Uganda Medical Association in January this year, this number is very small, and we have been suffering with a lot of workload because one health worker has to cover duties for another who is lacking, who is not employed, and this has forced us to work more hours in a day, more than 8 hours, which is not good.
Talking about the issue of employment, mass employment of health workers, the minister is of the view that it will be done in phases, despite the fact that over 187,000 health workers are needed or shortage of them in Uganda at the moment.
I think the government can actually afford the mass recruitment because the money is available. I don't know if surely there is anything that is more important currently in Uganda today than the health sector. When you look at the amount of money which is invested, for example, in security every year, yes, we need security, but it is huge and it's a lot of money. That is money which would have been shifted to ensure that these recruitments are done. And also given that in Uganda today we don't have any war that is going on apart from the wars which are being fought by Uganda outside.
Are you going to raise the issue of the agreement you had with the president the last time you had the discussion about the two doctors in every health institution across the country? What's the latest development?
Yes. Yes, we got this directive 2 years ago. And by this time, this recruitment would have taken place already. But now from 2021, 2022, 2020, those are 3 years in a row and no recruitment has been done to every center three. And meaning the goal we were looking at of reducing maternal mortality and early neonatal mortality, we have not done anything about it for the last 3 years. The directive or the revised human resource structure for the center threes just came out this year in May. And the plan was to engage with the Health Committee of Parliament and the Committee of Finance of Parliament to ensure that we get a wage and this recruitment, at least the center threes, should start. But even if they are to start, it has to be a mass recruitment. And this would also mean that the many medical officers we have on the streets were finally going to be employed. So it is very unfortunate she has preempted our efforts because we are already planning to meet with the parliament and request for a wage for these mass recruitments. But we are not going to stop. We shall go and do our part and push for parliament at least to approve this wage. Or the amount of money required for this mass recruitment.
Dr. Herbert Luswata is the president of the Uganda Medical Association. He spoke with me from the Ugandan capital, Kampala. A clinic initiative in Kenya aims to provide health care to vulnerable mobile populations such as truck drivers and commercial sex workers. The goal is to combat the spread of disease across borders in Africa. For VOA, Juma Majanga reports from transit town of Nolongo in Kenya.
It's a beehive of activity at this health facility made of converted shipping containers in the middle of Nolongo, Kenya, a town on the busy Nairobi-Mombasa highway. It's one of seven such clinics located in transit towns along the Northern Corridor Highway in Kenya and 50 others across Eastern and Southern Africa. The clinics are run by the non-profit North Star Alliance. They offer healthcare to mobile populations like truck drivers and sex workers and communities that interact with them. Henry Mwazige is a program manager at North Star Alliance.
As they move, again, the access to quality healthcare services reduces, and that's why you have to target them and bring those services closer to them so that they are able to actually help in reducing that chain of transmission or cutting off that chain of transmission.
Kenya's Ministry of Health says long-distance truck drivers and sex workers have a high prevalence of HIV and other sexually transmitted diseases. 75-year-old Patrick has been a truck driver for nearly 5 decades. We are not using his real name because he wishes to remain anonymous. Patrick says he tested positive for HIV after a work trip in Botswana. He had trouble accessing his medication in some foreign countries. But now, thanks to the network of North Star Alliance clinics, he is able to get his medications across borders.
Now I can just walk into any of their clinics with my card, and once I show them, they look at it and identify my type of medicine, and they give it to me. If it is 4 or 5, they know my prescription.
Catherine Wanja, a sex worker and peer educator in Mulolongo town, tells VOA that truck drivers are their best clients because they are well sensitized on preventive measures.
Truck drivers have their own families, so we have to use the protection. To protect me and the client, to protect his family.
To increase the reach, North Star carries out outreach services in collaboration with the communities. Eunice Mwikali runs a guest house and bar business in the area. She says the partnership between businesses like hers and the health facility has helped educate clients who are mostly truck drivers and sex workers.
For example, we advise them to use condoms, that is for protection. So we advise them to come to North Star because we have linked with them and they are offering free services. And if they're infected, we also tell them if they forgot their drugs to come to North Star, they can refill their drugs at any particular point.
North Star says it provided health services to more than 180,000 patients in the region in 2022, majority being drivers and commercial sex workers. Juma Majanga, VOA News, Mulolongo, Kenya.
In the Gambia, a leading member of the Opposition Alliance for Patriotic Reorientation and Construction, or APRC, is calling for a united opposition coalition to defeat President Adama Barrow in the next general election. Pa Mudu Mbowe says the government has not been able to provide the solutions to what he calls the ongoing economic challenges and rising inequality. He also admitted that a single opposition party will not be able to defeat the president in the coming presidential contest. Gambians will go to the polls in December 2026 to choose a new president. For more on his call for a united opposition, I reach Pa Mudu Mbowe.
Really, this is a boring issue. And something like it's like the need of the hour. Yes, we have a government that is really rotten. The president himself called his government Bahal cabinet, meaning a rotten cabinet. You know, so really and truly, that needs to go. I know in our constitution, the constitution of the Republic of the Gambia, the 1997 constitution, don't have any time limit, which gives him the right, you know, to contest for a third term, which I don't have any problem with that. But then it is incumbent on us, the Gambians, you know, with whatever we are going through, to really come together and really vote this government out democratically. So this is what we are working on right now. I've started advocating for it, and alhamdulillah, I'm so far so good.
Pamudu, some Gambians are saying that since the president was elected into the government, he has charted a new course for the people of the Gambia, and that is what they called him to do. He has done just that, and they might just have to give him a nod for the third time to continue the good work he has done. Your response to that?
In the first place, there was this failure in terms of respecting, you know, the MOU that they had. The MOU for 2016 was a 3-year term. Everybody knew that that was not in our constitution, but you know, they all agreed to it because the doyen of the constitution was Khalifa Saleh. He was there. He was very instrumental during the time, but they stipulated that in their agreement, in their gentleman agreement called the MOU for 2016. But that was not respected. The time came when we went on a fully fledged term, which led to the 2021 presidential election, and he contested. But then again, the first term, everybody knew that there was nothing that happens in the country. There was this commission of inquiry which lasted for two and a half years, and then the TRRC came and also last for another 2.5 years. Almost the 5 years was done, and nothing was done in the country. Nothing. If I say nothing, nothing was done. All the hospitals were deteriorating, and school. There is nothing like free education anymore. Agriculture is dead and buried. Because the tractors were seized, and they were allocated with donkeys and cats. Someone would take them back to the medieval age. Kind of thing. Healthcare. Oh my gosh. The infant mortality and maternal mortality rate is woof. It's 95% now, which was reduced to 5%. Now it's 95%. So really and truly, how can we allow that government to for another 5 years of suffering?
Since you started advocating for a united opposition front, what has been the responses of other political parties?
No, honestly, even I know you were trying to call me earlier on, but you couldn't get hold of me simply because I was having a television interview. The media house are off the hook because everybody, even Ehsan Baifal, some of his guys, I just spoke to the guy, and your call came in. This guy Abdul Jai, who works with Ehsan Baifal, every single one is applauding that. They're happy to hear something like this, somebody advocating for something like this. So, honestly, it's very positive. And besides, it's a need, it's genuinely a need. It's not like, a want, it's a need.
Pamudu Mbowe is a leading member of the Opposition Alliance for Patriotic Reorientation and Construction, or APRC. He spoke with me from the Gambian capital, Banjul. This is The Voice of America, and you are listening to Nightline Africa. I'm your host, Peter Clotte, in Washington. Coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Under Secretary General for Political Affairs, and music from African Collection. But first, now let's take a closer look at Africa, the problems, the prospect in time of conflict, in time of peace. Here's one man's point of view with Dr. James Jonah, former UN Under Secretary General for Political Affairs. Hello, Dr. Jonah.
Good evening, Africa. Developments last week in Africa demonstrate that France continues to lose ground in the continent, having lost heavily in Mali, Burkina Faso, Niger, and also in Gabon. France was faced with the sad news made by the government of Chad. France was called upon to withdraw its military presence in the country, and the addition was made that Chad is turning to Russia for its security. Little after that, the president of Senegal called upon the president of France to remove its naval base in the country that has been there since independence. The president put it this way. He said France first enslaved Senegalese, then colonized them and remained. And he said the reason why France is being called upon now to remove its naval base is to underline that this sovereignty of Senegal will be in the hands only of the Senegalese people. What has he had done when he was inaugurated? He said that Senegal would continue to maintain its relationship with France. And when President Macron apologized for an historical massacre in the country, he praised this us a new beginning. But we also know that the United States have also lost military presence in many African countries. It's doing its utmost to remain involved with the continent. President Biden is paying the visit he had promised when he met with African states to visit the continent, and is going to Angola, a Lusophone state. And he's making clear that the Western powers will continue to strengthen its relationship with the continent by strengthening its infrastructure elements in the continent. In this case, he was referring to the rail link which goes from Zambia, the Copper Belt, to Congo and into out in the Lobito Bay in the Atlantic. He has said that they would try as best as they could to help with structural development in Africa. Also, we have the case with France that is also trying to explore whether it could maintain long-term relations with Nigeria, the most populous African state and a leading economic power, by the visit now being paid by President of Nigeria and the elaborate official visit still going on. So these are all ways the Western powers are trying not to be left out in the cold. But of course, one cannot deny that what Africans have called double standard by the Western powers in particular is coming to them as surprise. Many African leaders and publicists have made clear that they are surprised that when the ICC issued a warrant for the former president of Sudan and the African state's leader that be suspended until he leaves office, they were not willing to help. In fact, they were praising the ICC to the sky. And for them to see now that many of the Western powers, recently now France, are trying to say that one can evade arrest warrants for the Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu. So this is up and go. We also know that the Western powers are hoping whether or not the present government in Namibia remains, but they want to be able to wrest from the grip of China many of the leases on mineral resources. Lastly, one cannot, of course, predict the future, particularly what will be the result of the influence of the new administration, President Trump, when he takes office in January. So we will keep watching developments, but you can always say that all is not lost for the West in the African continent. I thank you.
That was One Man's Point of View, a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Under Secretary General for Political Affairs.
Cheese. Famous. Hello, 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 hello.
And it's Sunday on Nightline Africa. This is the time we get to relax and reflect, a flashback with music from the continent.
You get one life only. Step, get one life for live. Why we no go use? I'm gladdy, gladdy. And enjoy the time. Palava no dey finish. Time in order with nobody. Now why are the time for always get some nice every day and night? This world where we all fend we safe. Now nobody own. You wanna get rich, you must we go down. You belay, now you young. And the balance where you go die left. Now all the money on. So why for the greedy you say? Find us where you call it, Bilam, Bilam, oh. You meet up woman where you let like, Yanam, Yanam. And if you let the man, I for keep him, want them more. The food where you feel for eat and for eat him, eat him. That fine, fine, the pan where you let like, na for buy him, and tie him, oh. And if you baby love him, you back love him, love him. But if you love them all, now you na for left him. Want them more, cause nobody, nobody know. Nobody know what in tomorrow old. So every day of my life, they are old. I've passing enjoyment, they go. I fall and for care for yourself. Nobody love you, pass to yourself. All man, they fed for himself. Now why are not they allowed with your other man? They panted with this.
every day. I see they also live with body beat. They like club or cook on a small little cage. Land for the loose body, one, no one, ten. No to money, no to gentry. No money make not a man and brother. As long as you get waiting, you they eat. Land for the loose body, one, no one, ten. This one way we all fend, we safe, not nobody own. You want to eat with too much, we go down your belly, nine, are you young? Get the balance where you go, die left, now all the money on. So why for the pity you say for? Tell the motor car where you let the buy em. If you see finals where you call it, be them. You meet a woman where you let piano. If you let me man, I for keep on. Want them all. The food way you feel for eat, I for eat them. Eat them. That fine, the power you let, I for buy them. And tie them all. And if you baby love him, you back love him. Love him. But if you love them all, now you not for left him. Want them more. Cause nobody know. Nobody know what in tomorrow all. So every day of my life, they are all. Passing enjoyment, stay go. And for land, for care for yourself. Nobody love you, pass to yourself. All man, they fed for yourself. Oh. Now, why are not the allowed with the other man? They party, me peace away. Me joy away. Me smile away. Oh, no. No, make nobody take you peace away. Me joy away. Me smile away. Oh, no.
You like, I'm not gonna ever tell no lies. I go buy you things you like, baby. Not only you want. I don't know, say too love, not the lie. Oh no, too love, not the high. Oh baby. Oh baby, now the little things you do can drive me crazy. Oh baby, now the little things you do can drive me crazy. Now me and you fly forever in my arms. We'll never leave lonely, we'll never walk away. Baby, now me and you fly forever in my arms. I'm never leave lonely, I'll never walk away. I love me to kiss up and away. Mama, can you go for love? Oh, mama, can I go love you? I go do the things you like. I'm not gonna ever tell no lies. I go buy you things you like, baby. Not only you want. No, I don't know. Say too love, not the lie. Oh no. Too love, not the high. Oh baby. Oh baby, got the little things you do can drive me crazy. Oh baby, got the little things you do can drive me crazy. Now me and you fly forever in my arms. We'll never leave lonely, we'll never walk away. Baby, now me and you fly forever in my arms.
everything where you choose, I'm alive. Never mind for dying at your hand, yeah. That at your hand, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ooh, when I look at you, I see my future in you. When you smile, my baby, when I laugh, my baby, you got the keys right to my city. Yeah, me no one for leaving.
Little things you
did
to
bring
that me crazy.
Sweet thing, I'm here for life. For if I'm in my arms, I'll never leave lonely. I'll never walk away.
Baby, I'm here for life. For if I'm in my arms, I'll never leave lonely.
Picking me one way, if I find trust, it's a good fashion.
Confession.
That was our Sunday music spot. Hope you enjoyed the music from Nightline Africa here at the English to Africa service of the Voice of America in Washington. Nightline Africa comes to you from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America. Hope you enjoy the program tonight. As you know by now, we are on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC. From the Nightline Africa team, including producer Nicole Peters and engineer the great Bob Bars, we say thanks for joining us. And remember, as the elders say, it's because of the fear of tomorrow that the tortoise carries its shelter wherever it goes. I'm your host, Peter Clotte, in Washington. Good evening, Africa. Shake like thunder, beat like drama. This right here is a lock of summer. Somebody please call emergency. The way the girl is hurting me, yeah. I like her, she a freaker. My wife, she a keeper. No one like her, she a sniper. My type of ghetto diva. I like her, she a freaker. My wife, she a keeper. No one like her, she a sniper. My type of ghetto diva. Superman. Shawty say you want a Superman. Baby, you know you a Superwoman. So you and I could be the super friends. Baby, I'm a lover. Baby, I'm a pleaser. Give it to you hard. Never will I tease you. Eat it like sad. Call that a season. So when I'm in Rome, you should fight on the leader. Give me what belongs to Caesar. To
Caesar, baby, I'm the leader. You are cheetah, jet, deliver, deliver.